That is a fun word. And when I sit down to write the first draft of my sermon, I find myself writing the word that over and over again. I use it when I want to emphasize a particular point, or when I want everyone to understand that this sentence is super important, like I just did right there. That is a useful word, but it's also usually unnecessary. I don't remember the specific grammar rule dealing with the word that, but the second and third drafts of my sermon involves removing the that's. They're usually repetitive, redundant, and rarely make my point as clear as I want it to be. So I scrub the that's from my writing as best I can. But I'm glad to see, in our reading from 1 John, a completely unnecessary that in the very first verse. We're at the beginning of the fifth and final chapter of this letter. The author is trying to make a very specific point about Jesus and why his human life and his human death matters. So the author starts the fifth chapter with, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." And right there is a perfectly good example of a that doesn't need to be there. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God is totally understandable. Both versions say the same thing. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ, everyone who knows Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the one who lived and died to save you and the entire world, if you know that Jesus, then you have been born of God. The author of 1 John didn't need a that in the opening sentence to chapter 5. But the author made sure to include it. And by adding a that, the author of 1 John pointed out to all of us how our words about faith will change as we spend our days and months and years following Jesus. Now, since today is the day after Trash and Treasure, I will continue my tradition of using something I found at Trash and Treasure as my sermon illustration. And what I found at yesterday's sale is this. It's a vinyl record called Columbia Fall 82 New Artist Sampler. On this album are songs by groups like Men at Work, Translator, Scandal, and the Psychedelic Furs. The record doesn't have a real album cover, and I don't think it was supposed to be found at a store, because written on it are the words, "Demonstration, not for sale." We can imagine this record being mailed to radio stations, music reviewers, record stores, and whoever the marketers at Columbia Records thought might actually buy an album from a band named Scandal. The record is a sampler, designed to give the listener a taste of what these new back then pop bands were all about. Like an appetizer before a meal, this album would whet our pop music palate. And Columbia Records hoped we would go out and buy or review or share the real albums of the bands showcased on this sampler. But flash forward to today. And here I was, 36 years later, doing exactly what this record told me not to do. Someone I don't know dropped this album off at church, and I have no idea if they ever listened to it. In the pile of records where this album was, not one of the bands listed on the sampler were actually there. This album maybe didn't do its job. So it was brought to church and we listed it for sale. Together, the person who donated this album, this church, and myself changed the rules spelled out on this record's cover. But I'm personally not too worried about breaking this album's rule, because it's been 36 years. None of the bands listed on this album are now new. And I can go find and listen to all their albums right now on Spotify and Pandora and Amazon Music and countless other online streaming services. That reality didn't exist in 1982. So the reason for this album's existence in our current context isn't the same. The world this record lives in has changed. But its core identity, as something I can put on a turntable and listen to for hours on end, that remains the same. The "that" in the first verse of chapter 5 shows us something important. It shows us how the community surrounding the author of First John struggled to define what belief in Jesus was all about. Jesus, as we hear in the Gospel according to John, is always saying things like, "Believe in me, abide in me," which is great. But as we spend months and years and decades living with Jesus, and as we share our faith with strangers and friends and even our kids, nailing down what this Jesus thing actually is pretty hard. Over time, our words change. We start saying "that" a lot as we highlight different experiences of faith that matter to us and that we believe should matter to other people. We start collecting writings into books that we say are the truth. And we start writing and repeating and sharing creeds, not primarily as a way to limit faith, but as an attempt to put our relationship with Jesus into actual words. Jesus, in this kind of process, doesn't change. But the world, our society, and ourselves, we do. What we say about Jesus and about our faith evolves and grows. We gain over time new words to say, and we toss aside the old ones. We give thanks for the perspectives of faith that brought us to this point, but we stay open to new thoughts and new points of view that will end up growing our faith in ways we can't currently imagine. The "that's" of our youth won't necessarily be the "that's" of our old age. But that's okay. And every "that" we use, well, it actually matters. Because what we say about Jesus, his life, his death, his cross, and his resurrection are more than just simple statements of fact or opinion. They are words that shape what our faith can look like, and they inform how we live our faith out loud. As the community around the author of 1 John changed, so did the "that's" of their faith. The words that fed the faith of the original disciples were words that needed to be expressed in new and different ways. The "that's" of faith started to change just a few decades after Jesus' resurrection, and those "that's" keep changing even today. Because our lives here in the 21st century do not look 100% like they would have if we lived in Jesus' time. He, I'm sure, would have no idea how to react to the music of an 80s pop band like the Psychedelic Furs, or what to even do with a vinyl record found in the middle of the Judean desert. Yet, even though we live different kinds of lives compared to Jesus' first followers, our need for his presence, his mercy, his forgiveness, and his love are still the same. Our language of faith has changed, and that language will change again. We will together struggle to find words for our new realities, and we will disagree with each other about what new that's we currently need. But as long as we cling to Jesus, stay close to his presence, and hold on to his core identity as the very human and very divine Son of God, we will discover, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the right that's God knows we need. And through this new word, God will enable us to do what Jesus calls us to always do, that when it comes to God, to our neighbors, and to each other, our that is always love. Amen.